Good afternoon. I've got a full color advertisement here that I want to share with y'all. Came in the mail Monday or Tuesday. Of course, there wasn't any mail on Wednesday. It says, Earth's Final Conflict. Which side will you choose? A Bible prophecy seminar. Is the end near? Find out Friday, July the 6th at 6:30. It says that it's 214 Bluff Springs Road, but I'm glad y'all are here and not there. But I thought it was interesting. As I looked at it on the inside, and no, I'm not going. I get paid to be here, otherwise I probably would. No, I'm just joking. The third night would be tonight, and that's July the 8th at 5:30 and 6:30. It says, Antichrist Agenda and the Antichrist Unmasked. And it's ironic that this would be what they're discussing, because our lesson tonight is about the Antichrist. You know, when people start talking about last times and last things and end times, you know, they start talking about things like this. There are a whole bunch of people out there that believe in the second coming of Jesus, but they don't have, the way that they understand it, a book, chapter, and verse to stand on. And I want you all to know that except for little bitty mistakes that I made, like the difference between a temple and a forehead and David and Goliath, somebody pointed that out. I try my hardest to have a book, chapter, and verse to base all of my teachings and all of my lessons on, because otherwise I would be a false teacher, and I don't want to be called out like that. But we're going to spend a few moments this evening looking at this idea of the Antichrist. Let's begin by looking at what John wrote about it in 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 23. John started out by saying, Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who's a liar but he who denies that Jesus is a Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Now we need to understand a little bit about this idea of last days or latter times or last hour or whatever. It's important for us to know what John's talking about when he wrote about the last times. You know, almost every age since the time that the New Testament was written, people expected Jesus to return very quickly and even in their lifetime. Paul wrote, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, there's a group of people there that expected Jesus to return just any time. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. Because of people misunderstanding and misinterpreting and misapplying words like this plus others, then the rest of the Bible kind of takes a beating also. We need to better understand these terms if we're going to better understand what John's talking about in our text. Now, the first time that we run into this teaching about latter days or end times is in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. It shall come to pass in the latter days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. Here we've got a reference to latter days. Now this prophecy is repeated again, not exactly word for word, but awfully similar in Micah chapter 4, verse 1. We studied that several months ago on Wednesday evening. And most scholars believe that these two passages apply to the establishment of the church in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Matter of fact, Peter, as he got up and he preached that sermon on Pentecost, quoted from the book of Joel. In Acts 2:16, he said, "This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." Now, it seems as though from looking at these passages that this idea of last days had to do with the time of the apostles and those that followed them. Let's look at another couple of passages of Scripture to see a little bit more about it. Maybe it'll clarify it a little better. The Hebrew writer, right at the very beginning, said, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son." We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. It was probably written in the late 50s or early 60s. It might have been Paul, but we don't know that for sure. And this passage was written to include the time that the writer was actually writing. So he was writing about the 50s or 60s A.D. Now Paul, in 1 Timothy and in 2 Timothy, used the words to apply to the future. "The Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." This latter times talks about the future, even our time, 2 Timothy. "But know this, in the last days perilous times will come." Now if you take all of these verses together, 1 and 2 Timothy by Paul, it becomes a little bit more clear that it's not just talking about when the writer was writing, but it's talking about the future. If you add it in with what we read from the book of Hebrews, you know, then we're talking about all of the days that go all the way back to the time of the apostles in the first century, all the way through when we are here in the 21st century, and on until the end of time, or the end of the world. John clarifies this last hour here in our text. He said, "By which we know that it is the last hour." So there are those that say that there must be some specific time that John is writing about, but those that think that it is a specific time don't really have a very good grasp of what John is talking about here. He's being very general in his statement. We need to study the coming of the Antichrist. Who is he? What's he like? Does he even exist today? Was he just someone who was around in the first century and is no longer? How is the church today affected by the Antichrist? These questions are very important to us for the express reason that there are people out there talking about the Antichrist, and maybe if you went to their seminar or their whatever they called it, they would espouse their opinion. But this is what the Bible teaches about the Antichrist. We're going to look at this lesson in three parts. First, the coming of the Antichrist happens all the time. It's not just one specific time. Number two, error often comes from within. And finally, we have an anointing from above. In John's day, the Antichrist was particularly active. John even went so far as to say, "Even now many Antichrists," and that has an S on the end of it, "have come." Now he's not talking about the future here. He's talking about his present. He was writing in AD 85 AD. And he said there was a whole mess of them around then. You know, the Antichrists, or plural or singular, are mentioned several other times in the New Testament. And each time, they're either talked about in the present or in the future. So what was John writing about when he spoke of the Antichrist? Now, we need to understand, and I mentioned this last, we had singing last week, week before last, this idea that John was combating in this book. I mentioned Gnosticism. It's G-N-O-S-T-I-C, Gnostics. That G is silent, kind of like the K in knife, okay? And these people were teaching people wrongly. They were false teachers. They didn't believe that, well, they believed in a dualistic theology, that there were two gods, that there was a good God, a God of light, the God of heaven. I mentioned 2 weeks ago, the God of the New Testament, who was the one who gave birth to Jesus, and then there's the God of the Old Testament, the God of darkness, the God of the flesh, the God who is of material things. And the God of the New Testament and the God of the Old Testament could never have any contact within each other. The God of the New Testament created Jesus. The God of the Old Testament created matter. How do we harmonize, or how did they harmonize this idea that Jesus was created by the good God, the God of light, but he was a human being, and matter was created by the God of the Old Testament, this evil God or this other God? How did they reconcile that? Well, they came up with this idea that Jesus did come down here to earth, but that he didn't exist in human form. In other words, you go up and pinch him, and not only would he not feel it, you might not even be able to touch him. Okay. Now, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? That's what John was fighting about here. There were false teachers that were trying to get people to believe error. And those false teachers in the first century were the ones that were saying that Jesus came down here on earth, but he didn't exist in the flesh. And if he didn't exist in the flesh, he had no body to hang on the cross, and he had no blood to spill from his body to cleanse us from our sins. So in our text, it says the Antichrist of his day is the one who denies the Father and the Son. So, that was the first century, these folks that didn't believe that Jesus came in the flesh. But what about today? Does the Antichrist, or do Antichrists still exist? If so, what are they like? Well, of course, it still exists, this whole idea. What is it like? Well, anytime anyone denies Jesus, his power, and who he is, that individual would be a type of Antichrist. We need to remember that according to the New Testament, we can crucify Jesus over and over again in our lives. In Hebrews chapter 6, it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become the partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. So according to this passage, we can crucify Jesus over and over again if we deny the power that brought Jesus to earth and the power that took Jesus to the cross. And when we do that, we allow the Antichrist to come back within us. Number two, error often comes from within. You know, anyone who loves Jesus and his church, and if we love Jesus, we have to love the church, it's his bride, is concerned about the welfare and the purity of the church. Now, we know that the church is eternal, that won't anything ever be able to destroy it, but that doesn't mean that we can't, or that we don't need to pay attention and try and find out if they're false teachers coming in trying to cause dissent and strife within the body of Christ here. It happened way back yonder in the first century, and it can happen right here in the 21st century. The scary thing is that it all too often comes from within rather than without. Paul met with the Ephesian elders in Miletus in Acts chapter 20. And while he was there, he told these men, among other things, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. This is a very scary statement, because he said, Paul did, when he met with these men, that not just people from within the church are going to come up and start teaching wrongly. He said, even from among yourselves, in other words, it would be elders who might do this. Now, John said this actually happened to the Christians he was writing to. He said, the false teachers went out from us, but were not of us. We don't have elders here, so every one of us needs to be on our guard to make sure that what's being taught and what's being preached is the right thing. And I was teasing Mike down here about the difference between a forehead and a temple. But there are people who hopefully accidentally will say the wrong thing. But if it's not accidentally, and even if it is an accident, it needs to be straightened up. And we need to make sure that we don't allow those to come within us. But how does all this happen? You know, it's easy to understand an attack from the outside. You know, but how does this happen when it's somebody from among our own number? In 1 Corinthians 1:10, Paul wrote, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. He said, y'all need to be careful. You need to be united. You need to be joined together as a group, and you need to agree on the things that you believe, that you teach, and that you understand. Paul wrote to Timothy, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Paul also wrote to the young man Titus, there are many insubordinate, idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. Now, throughout the New Testament, there are passages, there are snippets like this. Paul wrote, Peter wrote, Jesus warned there would be people like this rising up from within even our own group, maybe not here, but among the brotherhood here in Warren County, speaking and teaching and espousing wrong ideas and teachings. So we have to be aware. Finally, we have an anointing. And this is right toward the end of the passage, not at the end. And it starts with the word but. Okay? And when you find the word but, it means that there's going to be a comparison or a contrast made between what was previously said and what the writer is about to say. Those false teachers, said to be the Antichrist, had gone out from among these folks John was writing to, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. So John's making a contrast between the Antichrist and the Christ Himself. So what is this anointing? Well, those false teachers were probably walking around, kind of like Simon the Sorcerer in the book of Acts. They were acting all highfalutin, saying that they had special knowledge or they had special understanding of God. And, you know, they were being prideful. And John is saying here in this passage, said they say that they have all this special knowledge and understanding, but you have an anointing from God. You are the ones that have that special knowledge, that special understanding. John said, you know the truth. You don't need that special knowledge that those false teachers say they have, because you already have it. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. So in closing, there are an awful lot of folks out there that would say the Antichrist is real and the Antichrist is a person. And to that I say that the Bible says that there are Antichrists. And anyone who blasphemes or denies God or denies Christ or the simple gospel that we hold as a very solid and factual truth, that individual or those individuals are the Antichrist. We've got to be on guard as individuals and as a congregation of God's people. if they were able to get a hold to folks in the first century when John the Apostle was still around. We got no apostles here. You know, it's just those of us who come together of like mind that preach and teach and love and care for one another. We need to be constantly on our guard. If we need to understand that Jesus died on that cross to give us a guarantee. He gave us a guarantee of an abundant life here on earth and the guarantee of a home that's eternal in heaven with Him and with His Father. And if you want that guarantee of hope, then you need to respond to the invitation that Jesus offers at this time. If you need to come, won't you, as we stand and sing?